Gotta scoot it for the podcast.
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with
I have the crystal of power. Go Please on bring my podcast car. Host back to me. It's lonely sitting here doing this podcast in this empty Zoom call by myself. I can see his face, but I can't hear him. Pod, are you out there?
Can you hear me?
Thank Pod, he's here.
Dad?
Pod, damn it. Son, where in Pod's name have you been?
Sorry. Hey, I'm not... give me a second. I wasn't ready to riff. I was just trying to, like, make the microphone work. Give me... let me... one sec.
I wasn't ready to riff.
Said the man who podcasts for a living. Says the man who was born to pod.
We make 0 cents from the podcast.
Well, the podcast makes 0 cents in more ways than one. The only universe that it makes sense in is the moral one. But I'm telling you, if you can reach out and open your heart to Pod's love, Pod will take care of you. And Pod loved us so, he gave us his only begotten son.
All right, I'm here. I had to get a drink.
Yeah, no, you're all good. You are all good, mister. Another day in the neighborhood. I thank Pod that we're here, and I hope that you took time to be with Pod in your own way this week, whatever that means to you. Ben, how did you connect with Pod this week?
I am very in touch with Pod.
I would say you're maybe the most in touch with Pod man that I know. You're a man of Pod, I would say.
A man of Pod?
Yeah, you're a man of Pod.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I'm a cephalopod.
I'm a podophile.
Pod, damn it.
Oy, 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 oy. I am exhausted.
It's a Monday where we're recording. It might be any day where you're listening. That's the power of Pod.
It could be 20, it could be 2033. You could be Sri Lankan and you're listening to this podcast.
It's so, so true. And you, Mr. Manipod, on the other end of the line there, are coming to us exhausted after a long week of quite productive activity, I would say, in the traffic safety world. We still haven't solved it. Still a lot of traffic deaths this week. I saw a pretty significant one not too far away from me. It was on the freeway. So we haven't solved it, which means the map's still making money. As you know, more pins on the death map, the more money we make. So the business is still running, but the podcast has not achieved its vision, which of course is to end all traffic deaths.
I thought it was to take back the streets.
Well, that's the actionable step that can be taken.
Kill all drivers. I thought it was kill all drivers.
Kill all drivers. The power of Pod be with us.
Kill them and their god.
I heard some truly just dope-brained, dopey, sneezy fucking takes this week on the street. I talked with a lot of neighbors this week about the Colorado Boulevard Bus Rapid Transit Project and a way of thinking that is so far away from Pod. And it's shocking to me. One of the major arguments that I heard this week about opening a bus lane on one of our major north-south thoroughfares here in East Central Denver was that, it's okay that we did the Colfax Project because the Colfax Project has fast, three-lane, one-way roads that run parallel to it, which is a really interesting point from a car driver's perspective, right? Because it's true, these are terrible roads. I have complained to the agencies in charge about these roads in the past. They're like the only unpleasant part of biking through my neighborhood. And they're essentially freeways, right? They're three-lane, one-way roads where they could be two-way, one-lane roads with like a turn lane in the middle or something, just a much, much safer, slower design. But they want to maximize car throughput. So that's what they do. And this neighbor of mine was arguing, well, because Colorado Boulevard only has slow, narrow streets next to it, people are going to drive their cars up these small, narrow streets, and there's going to be traffic on my street, you know, two blocks away from Colorado Boulevard. And the argument that really has gotten my goat this week is that they say, well, those are safe streets. Those three-lane one-way roads, those are safe streets. That if people go on those streets, that's a total logical place to drive your car. But on a one-way or on a narrow two-way road with two you know, sides of street parking, like classic narrow city street, right? That's not safe for people to drive on. Children are going to die. And then I just pull up the death map and I show them, no, it's these three-lane one-way roads where people die. What's not safe is cars going quickly, not cars driving near children. And of course, like, we want to take measures to make sure that children are protected and that they don't get hit by cars. But we can do that by installing infrastructure that allows people to get around in another way. Not by lying to ourselves about what a safe road is, because what we think is safe equates to just being convenient for drivers. So that's my soapbox this week.
No, it's true. No, it's a good one. It's a good one. People don't really understand what makes a street safe unless you, like, walk a lot. And then you're like, oh.
Yeah, unless you, like, don't have legs and you can't drive a car.
That one always cracks me up. Like, what will people with disabilities do? It's just such an ass backwards take, right? Like, whole classes of disability can't use the transportation system that exists.
Yep.
Or you can, right? But you can't be an independent user of the system. And it's like, that's what freedom is. It's like, be able to go where you want when you want to.
Mm-hmm. Without relying on the government.
Right. It's like, what are you gonna, if you're like a regular guy with no legs, you still have to have a job or else you die.
Yeah, they right? don't make Uber free.
You still have to, like, go to the store and stuff. And it's like, you're not always going to have a caregiver. Or, like, what are you going to have, like, a full-time caregiver to cart you around? They always have those, like, heartwarming stories of, like, this little person has, like, a wildly over-engineered car so they can participate in society at all.
So they can kill as well.
But it's true. It's like, you're a second-class member of society unless you participate in the death cult, in the microplastification of your own penis and testicles.
Yep.
You know, unless you become a selfish, fat piece of shit, you don't get to participate in society at large.
Yeah, and Pod doesn't even love you.
I don't get this bit.
What bit?
There is no Pod, man.
Do you not believe in Pod? You're saying Pod is dead?
Pod is dead. Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one conversation I had with a neighbor this week. He was pretty good natured. He was generous enough at the end of our conversation to say, you know, I am more in the middle than I was before we started talking. And I was like, hey, I appreciate that.
It's good.
I appreciate that, bro. He like looked at the map. It's amazing how looking at the map changes people's minds. It's crazy how we believe in infographics, and when infographics carry the truth, I think they're really powerful. I mean, they're powerful regardless. They're scary when they you know, tell lies. Something that absolutely infuriated me about my Department of Transportation this last week at the public meeting is they had a chart.
Is that they haven't died yet?
Is that they're, yeah, they're still out there. No, they had a chart, and they essentially had a Colorado Boulevard little death map, and it was like a heat map version, and it was really oriented towards like volume of crashes, and that's cool. But they had a bar chart on this infographic that they had blown up and printed, you know, life size or whatever. And on it, it had a key of all of the crashes that had occurred, including which ones were fatal, which ones resulted in serious injuries, and 14 of a little over 4,000 deaths that they had on their visualization here, which were from 2019 to 2023 on some stretch of the road. 14 people died in about 4,000 crashes. So that's like 0.3%. It's not a significant percentage out of 100, right? But those are 14 human lives. And on this graphic, they had a bar chart that had the audacity to advertise that 0% of automobile crashes in the data set were fatal. And the fact that they did rounding to erase 14 people's deaths so that they can shill their wasteful, evil, terrible project is just, it makes me sick. And I had a hard time keeping my cool. And I showed the gal my death map and I didn't take a picture because I was so worked up. But yeah. Yeah, it's amazing when the government is literally telling you lies about how their systems kill you. And you know, I'm a white person, so I don't have a lot to say.
To be fair, it's truer than it's false, right? It's like, yes, 0% of crashes caused a traffic death on this corridor is truer than 1% of crashes caused a traffic death on this corridor. I would clarify that it's probably accurate to say that at least 1% of crashes on this corridor had the capacity to cause serious injury or death,
mm-hmm.
right? Because any time somebody becomes like disabled, that crash is serious enough to where somebody could have died, a different person in a different situation. Like all of those crashes can be considered serious as long as one person is sufficiently maimed by the incident.
Indeed.
I think that's important to consider, right? If you look at the death map, go to roadway.report right now. If you look at the map, for every point on the map, there's 3 more people who have died in America because of cars. For each of those, 4 times as many people as are on the map, there's another 3 people who were permanently disfigured by a car crash. For each of those, for each of the 10 times as many people as are actually on the map who were killed or maimed by cars, for each of those people, there's another 100 car accidents. Every single person will be involved in like a car accident in their life.
Yeah, if you haven't been already, I mean, geez.
Every single person will be in a car accident. You have like a 1 to 2% chance of dying in a car crash in your lifetime. And yet
the government wants you to keep oinking for it, Piggy.
I don't know what they want. They just want money, man.
Yeah, they want oink, oink, slop, slop, slop fest. They want slop society.
They just want to keep like tearing up land and selling little round rocks. They can't sell round rock if you don't have roads.
If you don't build it, they won't come.
If you build it, I will come. Oh, man. Should we talk about business?
Oh, yeah. Business. We could talk about business for sure.
So, okay. I don't know how much of this we should admit. Lucas and I incorporated the Roadway Report, and we appear to have listed the wrong address in one of the fields. And so we need to decide how to proceed. Lucas, were you thinking that we just move to Colorado? If we've got to change our address with the state of Colorado and the IRS, we should go ahead and
do that in one fell swoop.
Make you the registered agent with the IRS.
Yeah.
Or we should just figure out what all the paperwork is required and then get it filled out.
So the downsides, in the interest of protecting us from $240 of annual expenses, I mean, the downsides of listing my address publicly as the address of the business... We have a registered agent to which people can post, they can sue us if they want. They can... serve us, as it were. It's just for my privacy that I wouldn't want my address listed.
Yeah, you'd just be doxxed. But I mean, if you're registered to vote, you already are.
Right. Well, and you were doxxing yourself with this registration, right?
If you get Martin Luther King, that's not my fault. You feel me? You're a G, brother.
You got it, man. I think
there's definitely a security vulnerability that you can just, as an unauthenticated user, fucking submit and edit for an LLC's address.
Yeah.
The entity's principal office has changed. The new address is, all right, let her rip.
I sent it to you.
Bombo clot.
How you gonna paste if you didn't copy, man?
Please don't print that, I guess. I do the Jamaican accent a lot around the house.
One thing that's cool about the Jamaican accent is it's actually not racist to do it.
Not technically.
It's just entertaining.
Exactly.
I had this coworker who would always do it, and it was like, at first I was like, stop, that's racist. And then like, after 2 years of working with him, I just went all in on being Jamaican as well. I just gave up. And it is actually more fun.
You became Jamaican.
Is this looking right?
Looks right to me. You could say Benver to be fun.
I don't think I will. Principal office address should be your main place of business.
And this doesn't override the registered agent address.
No. Does it even fucking matter what my title is? I feel like it's kind of arbitrary. We just made up the titles.
Yeah, but it's how it works. We get to say king of the castle.
But what are you? So, like, what are you? Chief executive officer? What did we decide? We said big daddy. We can't put that on documents.
We didn't really decide on titles. We should probably decide on titles and adopt some other bylaws.
I'm just going to say CTO.
Or just say member manager.
I forget what I said to the IRS.
Sexual magician.
It says member. Yeah, I think it does say member.
I'll show some government employees my member.
Benjamin Daniel Carnero, member manager. Yeah, member manager is a good catch-all. Okay, I've put your number, your social. Does this form look correct? Looks correct to me.
Do you need me to physically sign it?
No, I think I'm the one who signs it.
Okay.
Or rather, I'm the person who filed the original LLC.
Yeah, so you should execute this document.
I guess. Who knows if it even fucking matters? There's apparently, like, you know, businesses are complex. Different people manage different things. It looks like the auth is, like, super busted in all of these contexts.
Yeah, it's kind of fast and loose.
I think I'm good. I'm going to save this, and I'll mail it tomorrow.
Okay, be in.
I have to print this FedEx print and go.
Public library.
Oh, I guess that too. I mean, so have you ever done print and go?
It's yeah, we usually do Office Depot. Oh, my baby left me. She went to old Minnesota. She's down by that big river doing verse and singing songs. And now I'm stuck. Oh, I'm stuck. I'm stuck here on the Front Range. And I'm tired of them killing my neighbors with rage.
Alrighty. Thanks for bearing with me. We needed to get that done.
Of course, yeah. And then, I just need to figure out, I mean, based on all of my reading, it doesn't seem like we are subject to sales tax in the state of Colorado. But I think wherever we do business, we need to read the laws.
Well, that sucks, but... Well, we'll have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks for me. It's on paper that's my job. All you got to do is keep killing people with your map.
Yeah, for real. It's good. I mean, to be fair, it's like I've definitely done more than half the work.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? No, certainly.
At least so far. So it's good that there's something annoying and difficult that you can do.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
That's so true, though. It's like, dude, I was wrestling with New Jersey for the last 2 days straight.
God.
They published their fucking format. They published their spreadsheets without any column headers.
What?
So I'm like, they published their spreadsheets without any column headers, and a lot of the data is encoded in, like, numeric codes.
And so you're like,
It's just a spreadsheet of digits.
It's literally gobbledygook. Yeah, it's
right.
It's...
So I spent like 2 days like trying to open things, and then trying to filter. Basically, how do you filter it down when it's just each year is five different spreadsheets of basically just digits with no column headers
and no key to any of the digits. No
well,
column
there is a
keys.
Key. There was a key, but. There wasn't an injury count on the master file. So I couldn't filter down the crashes table just by looking at the crashes table. I had to instead reference the occupants and the pedestrians table to enumerate the number of injuries, serious injuries and deaths for each crash. And then I had to subtract the set of death crashes from the set of injury crashes and then use that set of unique crash IDs to filter down the tables.
The crash table. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As I process them from numeric codes into just like a table of readable values. And so basically I've pre-processed 2006 to 2018, and now I've got to move on to a third batch of data, which is structured differently. And so I'll do 2019 through the present.
But you've got to learn a new algorithm.
Right, and I've got to process an entirely different set of tables. But that's fine, right?
It's like, it begs the question, is this like purposefully obfuscated, or is it like...
No, this one is just like a legacy. It sort of just reeks of like, well, this system was sort of old.
Yeah, legacy.
Well, no, and then the new system, I was able to like filter down in the web app, and I didn't have to download 30 gigabytes of data to process and end up with like maybe 30,000 rows in a table. With the legacy data, I basically had to download 100 times as many megabytes as I really needed. And then with the last 6 years, it was like, it's I think going to be a lot more straightforward. There's like column headers.
Thank God. That'll help.
But yeah, so yeah, I've only pre-processed the first two data sets, and now I'm moving on to the third, and I'll have, but as a result, New Jersey will have 20 full years of injury data.
Excellent. That's a big state. It's a lot of deaths.
Basically, only California and New Jersey will have that much data.
Listener, we are doing the public good that the government refuses to do. They've got these tables and tables of data, and yeah, they're ugly, and yeah, they suck, but my partner over here processed this shit in a couple of days and is going to publish it for the public good. What is the government for? I don't understand what the government's for. Like the local government, the state government. It exists to like misuse funds, like exclusively? I don't know.
They build the road and they kill your son. What you gonna do about it, pussy?
They build your road, they kill your son, they email your wife, I tell you that much.
They consistently email my wife.
My fellow Americans, let me be clear.
Let me be clear.
If you work for the state or local government, you are
you are a pussy. You are a bitch. And we have no need for you in the federal government.
Yeah, I wish Obama was more like a Leninist figure. It would be sick if he was genuinely like a figure to worship. It'd be so good to have a figure to worship, baby, other than this member.
I remember when you and I fell in love with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, man. Good times.
The revolution was in all of us all along. He really was maybe the best guy ever. He has a salient, cohesive political ideology that is consistent, that is morally consistent and ideologically consistent, whether or not you share those views.
I don't know. The inability to call out Israel has set me back a little bit with Bernie Sanders.
What an 85-year-old Jew?
I get it. And he's got to milk whatever political life he's got left in the Democratic Party, or, you know, as like a pseudo Democrat. But yeah, I don't know. You'd think that someone that old with all the bona fides, I don't know. It's disappointed me. It's made me scratch my head. And I don't mean to center necessarily Palestine or Israel in like our domestic politics, because I feel like that gets done a lot. But it is suffering on the other side of the globe that we like can't turn a blind eye to, and like that state needs to be eliminated.
The state of Israel?
Yeah. That was a mistake.
I mean, it was whack. Zionists are whack. Full disclosure, Zionists are very whack. Maybe the wackest people.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not calling Bernie Sanders a Zionist. And I don't know. That in the last couple of years has made me, it's given me pause about the whole, you know, left establishment, Bernie Sanders included.
What can you even do, man? What's good enough in this society?
Move to Vermont?
Vermont's a pretty nice place to live.
You wrote a whole like song cycle about Vermont, essentially. It was about Deborah and Eugene.
Only the second song was about Vermont.
But wasn't it all, really?
It was about life, and it was about regret.
And love.
And divorce.
It was a banger. It still is. You could listen to that. It's like anywhere you listen to music. Puny Wump, The Ballad of Deborah and Eugene. I definitely recommend it.
Song 2, the second one, the second Ballad of Deborah and Eugene, is specifically a song about Vermont that I wrote in 2014.
I think...
Wow, how time flies, man.
Did you not write that when we were in Seattle?
Maybe 2015.
2015?
So the year after.
Yeah, because like you had, you were riffing on the Deborah Eugene stuff a lot. Like Deborah and Eugene were characters, but it was like that summer that I sort of pressed you into writing the album.
The bit was divorce.
And
it's
the
like
bit was
divorce as a bit.
Yeah.
Right. It's like I'm having a divorce. I am the man. I am the woman. I am enacting divorce on the stage. That was the bit. Pretty good bit.
I think that this is the longest ever we've gone in the podcast without saying the word goon or gooning. I'm over an hour in on this recording, and we haven't talked about gooning
once. Okay,
well,
we also submitted a form to the Secretary of State and the IRS. All right, so there's been some more important business to attend to. I can't goon all the time.
Well, I mean, you've also been strapped up on that car battery, right? You've been gooning the whole time.
I gooned. Not today, but recently.
And thank you for tuning in to another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. I'm your auntie, Lucas Riley. You can reach me at lucas@roadway.report. You can listen to any of my other work at Lucas's Little Library on Substack, or read my plays, or, you know, just harass me online. You can also follow me on Instagram at Blurbanist. That's urbanist with a BL in front of it. Blurbanist. I interact there, so hit me up. Shoot me a message. I'd love to hear from you. And this is my pal, Big Daddy Bear.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Lucas?
I can hear you, Big Daddy.
We just published Lucas's address. Find him and kill him. We just published Lucas's address. It's a public record now. We just published Lucas's address. Mail him a picture of your balls. We just published Lucas's address. Mail him a picture of your balls. We just published Lucas's address. Mail him a picture of your balls. We just published.
We already published Ben's address. It's live right now. We haven't filed the paperwork for my address. So mail him a picture of your balls.
That's right. That's right. Let's hear it for balls, folks.
Ah, yes, balls, balls.
Let's hear it for balls.
State transportation agency may hire 40 plus employees to come stand in an old building that was built to educate black people and tell you why we should not build a bus lane. They'll print lies on their graphics. They'll smile and ask if you've listened to the opposition. They'll drive to the meeting, and you'll limp out on your busted ankle. You'll walk to the bus stop. You'll watch the bus go by just before you can reach it, and you'll know that another one isn't coming for at least another 30 minutes. And you'll hear their voice in your head. They're telling you, what about how long it's gonna take in rush hour traffic for me to drive in my air-conditioned car blasting my favorite song? How long is it gonna take for me to get home to my beautiful wife? And you'll sit at the bus stop. And you'll think, no way your wife is as beautiful as mine. And I get to look my neighbors in the eye. Hello, bus driver. Hello, operator. Hello, bag lady. I'm on the bus, baby. I'm a real American. And soon, everyone else will be a real American too.
The fuck that was, but I had fun.
That was pretty good. Fun. That was like some beat stuff. We were doing. I was like doing
yeah,
beat
good. That
stuff.
Was good.
Well, boys. Again, thank you for tuning in. I love you deeply, listener. And I hope you're doing well out there. Thanks for reacting to the pictures of Ben's face on the Instagram, and just for all the love. Go buy merch. If you found us through any of the recent media, I was quoted in a Westword article. I know Ben recorded a podcast with some other goons last week.
By the way, never came out. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I don't know if she listened to the podcast. That shit, she's like, yeah, I think it'll come out Thursday. That shit never came out. So
maybe she means this Thursday. I mean, she published an episode on Tuesday of last week.
I personally believe. Oh, today's Monday. I think that the next episode was supposed to come out today.
Hopefully she's okay.
I think she listened to the podcast and we are canceled.
She quiet canceled
us. Well, I mean,
us.
Like, what would you do if you found out that you interviewed someone who gave a pretty good interview but was actually morally reprehensible?
The podcast isn't morally reprehensible.
I don't think it is. And also, like,
we have the decree of pod.
No, you're right. The last podcast was published 6 days ago. So realistically, like, if they publish it tomorrow, it would be in schedule.
I think she's just behind. I feel like if she doesn't publish the episode with you, she's going to have to at least send you an email saying, like, hey, sorry, your work is not brand aligned and we wish you the best, but XOXO. Like, it's not, it's just business.
No, it's whatever, man. We are very aligned with what Strong Towns does, all things considered. I just think that we take a few artistic risks.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. You put the word revolution in your podcast and you tell your guests not to talk about politics. I don't know. I really respect what Strong Towns does. I think that the way that they're getting people on board is really important. And I love their economic take to a lot of things because that gets left out some of the time. But I can't get behind a revolution podcast that is not political.
An army of gooners will take back the streets, whether the government likes it or not.
And it'll happen in the dead of night.
In the dead of night?
In the dead of night, Ben.
An army of gooners?
Yeah, in the pouring rain.
In the pouring rain?
Yeah.
In
an
the
army
dead
of gooners
night?
Will take back the streets in the dead of night, in the pouring rain.
Take back the streets?
Take them back.
An army?
Of gooners.
Of gooners.
They're going to take back the streets.
In the dead of night.
In the dead of night.
In the dead of night.
An army of gooners.
An army of gooners.
Are going to take back the streets.
Are going to take back the streets.
In the dead of night.
In the dead of night.
It may or may not be on Christmas Eve.
An army? On Christmas Eve?
It may or may not be. It may or may not be on Christmas Eve.
An army of gooners?
They're going to take back the streets in the dead of night.
Take back the streets?
In the dead of night, yeah.
In the dead of night. How does that one song go? An army of gooners will take back the streets. Something like that.
Oh yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Have a good week.
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car, baby.